Welcome to Pacific Beer Chat. I'm Mike.
I'm Steve.
I'm Carnell.
I'm Warren.
And I'm Jordan.
All right, this episode we're going to feature a fairly new mixed pack. It's four separate beers. There's two each can, and it is from Four Winds Brewing in Delta. If you're from Metro Vancouver, you know how these people are because they're really popular.
Yeah. So the official name is Pils Pack, and it's a collaborative Pilsner project. So they did a collaboration here with four other local breweries. So each of the four beers is a different collaboration between Four Winds and another brewer.
They forgot to talk to Steel and Oak, but...
Yeah. The first one we're going to try here is the one that they did with Daggerad. This one's called Nom Bleu, and it's a Belgian-style table lager. If you like Belgian beers, this is super on the light end. Like, it has that Belgian character, but my lord, it's drinkable.
And it's 4% alcohol, 15 IBU.
Yeah, so it's not challenging really at all.
Ward, is Belgian lager, is that a real style or a traditional style? Yeah. I should say it is a real style because it exists, but
yeah, I don't know if there's a category in the BJCP that's specific to that style. I would imagine it would go into a European, light colored.
You're with an I category.
Something like that. But, man, is this ever nice stuff.
All right. So it's definitely a very light kind of golden color, straw color or something. My lighting's not
slight
great here.
Slight haze to it.
Slight haze. Definitely not filtered. Fluffy white head.
Beautiful, yeah.
Weird. Just I would gorgeous. Not say this has any haze at all.
Oh, well, really?
Definitely in my glass it does.
I'm just getting...
You see that, Steve? Look at my...
Tiny haze.
Well, okay. All right. Yeah. No, holding it up to an actual wall, yeah, you can see a bit of haze.
If you've seen the video, you can see all of our glasses look pretty hazy.
I love the aroma. You get this nice herbal...
Yeah.
Fruity... Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's light fruitiness. It's definitely floral. Maybe a little bit of grain. It's not as expressive in the grain as you'd expect for a lager, for a fairly light beer, but...
Yeah, but it does make you think Belgian right off the top. That estuary note really comes out.
Yeah, you get that spicy character from the Belgian yeast that definitely comes through.
Yeah, it's herbally.
And I haven't even tasted it yet.
Well, it's so nice because it doesn't have a huge malt backbone. It's really light.
Wow, that is light. There's more grain on the flavor than there was on the aroma.
Yeah, and it's got a really sort of like nice Melba toasty note. Yeah.
It's definitely a little bit herbal.
It's crisp, though, and it finishes with that nice floral. Oh, it's fantastic.
And this is just my own opinion because I'm not a big Yellow Fizzy Lager fan, but it's not boring.
No, it's got flavor to it. No, but still drinkable.
Yeah.
This is what I want in a pils. This is really nice.
Yeah.
Carnell's having a snack.
crunch.
So there's one thing we got to explain to people who might be watching this or listening to this. This is a little out of the ordinary because normally we'd have one or two cans that we'd be sharing amongst us.
Yes.
However, being at home, we're each opening our own full can here. So
true.
This could get interesting.
Yeah, we're not going to record as many at one time because there's a lot more beers opening up.
Yep.
I forgot that and I poured a whole glass and I'm like, shit.
you'll notice my much smaller pour.
Yes, you're very smart.
Yeah.
I'm going to be sharing these among the rest of my isolation pod later.
Yes, just not the young pod. But yeah, no, I mean, as a person who doesn't really like this style of beer, this is interesting. This is not your average Yellow Fizzy Lager, even a craft one. There's lots going on.
It reminds me a little bit of the Bernabarian, but it's that much lighter and that much easier to drink.
Right? Yeah.
And coming into like the start of the warm weather, like we've been out on the deck so much, I'm drinking this and going, yeah, this is a good time for this.
Oh yeah. When the sun's shining. Oh,
yep.
In this rainy city.
Better.
Yeah. I actually enjoyed this one on the patio in the sun. It was delicious.
Yeah. That's what Pilsners are for.
Yeah, easy day drinking.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, but like Mike said, not boring. Got enough interest there to really keep me coming back, but I could just sit there and pound these.
Yeah, me too. I really am enjoying the scent, though.
Yeah, so it's kind of nice to know.
I'm reading the back of the can here, and it says they've used some oats in this, so that's why it's a little bit foggy, I'm guessing. German Pilsner malts, Celia and Aurora hops.
I've never even heard of those hops.
There's some new ones. They must be from New Zealand or something like that, I'm guessing. And the name itself means numerous and was chosen because more than one can be had in a sitting.
Ooh,
as it's definitely only 4%. True. So, yeah, this is almost like a session pils, right?
Yeah. It's a nice beer. This was actually my least favorite.
Is that right?
Well, this is my first attempt at any of these beers, so I don't even know yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, fair enough.
It's cold.
It's my favorite so far.
Not to say it's by any means bad, because it's not. It's a delicious beer, but it just happened to be the one that wasn't my favorite. But I just want it to be, and I think part of it might be like this. The Belgian yeasty estuary flavor I would assume would be a little conflicting with that sort of crispy crackery flavor that you often get in lagers. But when I reach for lager, I really want that crispy crackery bit, and I feel it's just slightly I feel like it's a little bit under carb, but I love it as a beer. But just when I want to reach for a lager, it wouldn't be my first pick. But it's like a beautiful beer, as you guys were all saying. On a patio.
That's interesting, because first couple of sips, I really got the toasty, biscuity, malty goodness, and it really sort of it vanished on me after a few sips. Like I guess I got used to it, but yeah, then it started just being a very clean, simple beer, and it
was fruity esters.
Interesting transformation. I miss the malt a little bit. I want that to stick around, but I don't know if that's asking too much.
So, you know, to try and be as transparent as possible, this mm-hmm. is the first time I've tasted this beer, or these four, to be honest with you. I think I've gone through three of these 8-packs already in the past few weeks. It's the day it was announced that they were releasing it, I went to their website the next morning and ordered it. And I've ordered a few more since then, and I was very impressed with the entire mix here. This one with Daggerad, was the very first one I tried when I opened the box the first time, and I wasn't disappointed. I really enjoyed it. I don't know if it's my least favorite out of the four. I know which one's my favorite.
We'll get there.
But, we'll get there. Yeah.
But I, at the end of the day, I thought as a mixed pack, it worked really well because all the beers are distinct. They're all a little different. You're never going to get confused on which one you're tasting. I thought it was a really good idea to do this collaborative mix of Pilsner styles.
Well, now you got me wanting to try the next one.
Yeah, no doubt. Good.
But I completely agree with you, Warren. I think you hit the nail on the head. As far as like mixed packs go or collaborations go, like this has got to be one of the pinnacle sort of like apex mixed packs I've ever had. It's a style that not everybody's into. There's four of them with four. Like there's a lot of like,
and they're really all good. They're all well done.
Usually you get a mixed pack and there's a couple of duds. When I said this wasn't my favorite, that's not to say I don't like it. It's just these were all very high quality. And it's really cool to learn about a style that, I won't speak for you, but I'll speak for myself and say, I don't know a ton about lagers. I don't know what I really like or don't like. So to have four well-made ones side by side, it makes it like one of the coolest mixed packs I've ever bought.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to move on, I think, to green.
And that, how do you even say that? Andiamo?
Andiamo.
That sounds better.
Exactly. So this is the Italian style lager.
Does it say Crispy Boys Abound on this can?
Wait,
on
what?
All of them. On all of them.
That wait, hurts my soul.
How did I not see that?
Right underneath
the lager beer like series.
Parnell noticed it already. That's why I was saying Crispy Boys.
I wrote the copy for this, so.
Did you really?
No. Fuck, sure. I don't know. I mean, I've said Crispy Boys Abound before.
Oh, okay. Yeah. This is an Italian-style pilsner.
Yeah, Italian-style, done with Superflux.
And it's 5% alcohol with 40 IBU, so it's a bit of a kick-up from the 15 IBU. This is more in my wheelhouse.
And this is using Herzbrucker and Mittelfrau Hop, so this is a much more traditional style.
It's funny, too, because Superflux is totally known for hazy IPAs.
They have dry hop this, though. They use Hallertau Blanc to dry hop it, which is a little different for a lager. But yeah, they have to go overboard, don't they? Mm-hmm.
Yes, they do, and thank you for that.
Oh, that smells like a fresh hayfield.
This one is way less hazy, I think, at least for me. It's that yellowy kind of color you expect from a pilsner or whatever.
Yeah.
Small
mine too.
White head.
I loved it.
Not so quite much. As fluffy as the last one.
Mm. That's more like a pilsner. You're not getting that Belgian yeast, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can sniff that all day. That's great.
It's got more of that sulfury lager kind of yeast smell.
Yeah, it's definitely got that graininess you expect from a pilsner. It's definitely floral.
Nice fruitiness in the background, though. It's quite nice.
I'm not sure I could pound these quite as much, but I really, really like that.
I've done some research into the style recently. I heard about it a couple months ago, and then I had my first one, which coincided with me sort of getting back to lagers at ABC not long ago. And to me, it's sort of like a great example of that echo that's been happening in craft beer for a while. So you take a beer, like a German style Pilsner that's, very defined, very specific. And then, we have the craft beer explosion in North America, and then the Europeans sitting over on the other side of the pond become aware of it. And they sort of play with it themselves. So Italy, which has never really had a great craft beer culture behind it at all, one of the things they took from the States was dry hopping. So obviously in Germany, with their defined Pilsner styles, they would never, ever think of dry hopping a damn thing. The Italians are aware of Germany. They're aware of the dry hopping and way hops are used in North America. And, they just make a tweak. They take your standard German Pilsner, and they decide to dry hop it with some floral, tastier hops. I wouldn't even say this is not like a punch in the face by any means.
No, and these are pretty standard Pilsner hops. They're just they're using them in a different way, right?
Yeah.
So by dry hopping with those hops, you're getting more of that fresh aroma, the grassy kind of flavors up front.
Yeah, yeah. I'd almost say too that you're getting a little more of almost that juicy fruit flavor you'd get from the way they do the New England IPAs.
Right.
It's got that fruit flavor more so than you usually get in a Pilsner.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So if you take it from like the Italian Pilsner brewers, apparently, and I'm just reading here, I brought it up again because I read this article before, but I thought it was really interesting. In Italy, it's called a Tipo Pils or a Tipo Pils. They probably say it with an Italian accent, obviously.
Tipo Pils.
Which literally means a kind of Pilsner. So when they brew this, they're not necessarily intending for people to sit there and pound them back. But even to our palates, right, it's somewhere in between a beer that we would sit there on a patio and intend to pound back and, a hazy IPA, which we probably have one of before moving on somewhere. So I don't know. I'm a super big fan of this style of beer. I like this one. I think I actually prefer the ABC one, but I think it's a super cool sort of well-rounded style of beer that I think is going to become pretty big here in North America in the short term.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the ones that's trending that you're seeing pop up occasionally now.
Yeah.
Just like Pacific Northwest IPA is starting to show up again.
I feel like a lot of the older crowd that is just getting into craft beer and stuff like that would like to sip on something like this.
Oh, yeah, this would be a great way to get your buddy who drinks Bud and Kokanee and shit like that
Kiss
into
water.
Craft beer. Bring him one of these.
Yeah.
This would get him started.
But I bet you anything, too, you could give your hazy boyfriend this, too, and you could all sit and have the same beer.
Oh, I love my hazies, but this is delicious, man.
Right? I say that, though, because it's got that the same kind of, you know, it's way less, but it's still that fruit-forward thing going on that you expect from a hazy, late hop additions. So you can get your maybe your Lager Boy fan, like the non-craft Lager Boy fan, and maybe even the hazy fan sitting and having the same beer and both enjoy it, possibly.
Absolutely. It's it's got like, it's when you think of it, it's not like one of those one-noted beers. It's definitely got a layered dynamic flavor. You have that malty, crispy, biscuity, and then you have that hop on top of it. So it's like, I think it would appeal to both, you know, your beer connoisseur, your beer dork friend, and also as much as to the, what's it called? The bud drinkers of the world as well.
Don't forget the crispy boys.
The crispy boys.
Yuck.
It might be a great beer for a new brewery to try out.
An Italian style.
Wink, wink.
We're going to do a Vietnamese style. We're doing the Bai Ahoy.
Oh,
okay. What the hell is that?
So Bai Ahoy is a street lager that they make on the streets in Vietnam. And you can stop on the side of the road and get like 50-cent glass of beer kind of thing. It's very low alcohol, typically 3% or even lower sometimes.
Wow.
And it's, a difficult style to make because there's nothing to hide behind. It's a really light, you know, low ABV lager. So the version we're doing is right around 3%. We've done some really interesting things with the recipe so that it's... You can't tell from the body that it's low ABV. It tastes like a normal, everyday 4.5-5% beer, and can have multiples of them and not be too worried about walking home.
Nice,
nice.
When's that going to be available?
I'm not sure where that is on the brewing cycles here. It's not one of the first beers we were going to be making. It will be during the second or third cycle, I believe, while we still have time to let it lager and stuff.
Yeah.
If it's not brewed in the next week or so, it'll probably be the week or two after that.
Oh, okay, so that's something to look forward to at Fraser Mills.
We're going to try and make it a staple. We want to have it on all the time, just so that the low ABV option's there. And the plus side of that is it's inexpensive to make, so we'd like to sell a lot of it.
Other than tank space, right? Just sitting there.
Yeah, it takes a month longer in the tank, just because of the nature of lagers. But
I like it.
We got lots of tanks.
Nice. Yes, you do. All right. Well, I have to admit, you know, as not being a Pils fan, this pack scared me a little bit because. These first two beers don't taste like just Pils. Because if they just hit like Pils, I'd be like, oh, yay, another fucking Pils. But it's not it at all, right?
Yeah.
I was in the same boat as you, Mike. I was a little nervous. And then the first one I cracked, it was Carnell's least favorite. So I'm excited for the rest of them now.
Well, I love the fact, too, because I would not have drank these beers if it wasn't... Who was it that recommended we do this episode? I don't remember anymore. It was just like, fine, we'll do it. Let's do it. Let's drink these freaking beers.
If I didn't suggest it, I was on board right away.
Yeah, I don't remember. Maybe it was Cam. You were Cam. I'm not sure.
It might have been Cam.
Unfortunately, Cam's not here, unfortunately. But
yeah, well, the other nice thing I like about, like, I love all beers. There's very few beers I dislike, except Brut IPA. That's a terrible style. Good guy.
I like them if they're done well.
But as much as I like hazy IPA, the thing that like I like about hazy IPA is it's like it's juicy, it tastes like juice, like pastry stouts, they taste like pastry. like even a stout, it's like, oh, you get those coffee and those chocolate notes. Like you go down the line, West Coast IPA is piney grapefruit. When you get to these pilsners, like they actually, they taste like beer. And I know that's sort of a misnomer because these are all beers anyway, but like when you think of beer and like you want sort of a non-sweet savory drink that like pairs well with food and still quenches it, like it does that job. And it's really nice to see breweries.
It's a West Coast IPA, isn't it?
Well, give this style of beer like it's due finally. Like even in the past when they started coming out with craft lagers and things, I'd say they were pretty terrible. These are friggin' awesome, these beers that we're testing right here.
Yeah, yeah. They're good. So far, so good.
Yeah, so far, so good.
I want to get onto that next one. I was just going to say,
let's get her.
All right. I think we're moving to pink now, are we?
Yeah.
Are we?
Yeah.
The Zulata? I don't know. You guys pronounce Zuta. It.
this one's outside my wheelhouse.
Yeah, I don't know. This coral color.
It's Czech style. That's why.
Ooh, Czech style. Amber lager. 5% Zuta. Alcohol, 35 IBU, and... We're all going to butcher it. Zulta?
Zulta. Zulta. They have those softer sounds in Czech.
Yeah. And this is the collaboration with House of Funk Brewery in North Vancouver, which is one of my favorite new breweries in the province right now.
Yeah, they're doing some cool shit up there for sure.
I love the aesthetic of that place. I like the fact that they're just going like straight up. Everything is kind of funky and wild and... It's mostly, I think, maybe not all, but it's mostly aged in oak.
They got some wooden fermenters, which is really cool.
Yeah, so they're going way out of the norm, which is really cool. Yeah.
Well, yes, we're talking about House of Funk. I stepped away for a second, correct?
Yes.
And we're talking about House of Funk in reference to their House of Lager project.
No, just the fact that they have lots of
booters.
Kind of aging in wood and just stepping out of the norm, which is really cool.
Right. Yeah. Well, and sorry, I thought we were on a different topic, but I might as well pivot now.
Pivot.
And they just started. It's been in the rumor mill, and I think actually we had it confirmed by Mr. Foss earlier in our last episode that House of Lagers is happening, where Hearthstone sort of died and a sad death in North Vancouver there. Taking over the brewing space will be House of Funk, and they're calling that their House of Lager space.
No way, so they actually are taking that place over, are they?
That's House of Lagers. I mean, they won't have a tasting room there or anything. It's literally just brew space. Apparently, it just, like, the opportunity came out of nowhere. My understanding is the numbers worked, and they just jumped on it because it was an opportunity. And so I understand that's going to be their lager space.
Nice.
They had a lot of success with another lager recently, and also like they clearly know what they're doing. Like,
well, they have their Fooder Age lager too, right? So
yeah. Well, and as much as this seems like a traditional style, it's not, right? Like it's Czech style lager should be blonde.
This one's also an amber Czech style, right?
So that's what I mean. They wouldn't normally do an amber, would they?
Probably not. So Zluta is Czech for amber.
Right? Oh,
this is an amber style, which makes it stick out a little bit from the pack because this is actually a dark pilsner. When you pour it, it's a little darker than just amber, and you really pick up some of those roasted flavors in the malts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely super dark compared to the other two beers we've had.
Yeah,
honestly, not getting a lot of nose off of it.
Oh, pour vigorously because you get a real nice rocky head.
Yeah, you definitely do.
Not quite as carbonated as the other two were.
Yeah, I'm not getting quite the head I got off the first two. Not a bad thing. But
that is dark. Like that is a deep amber. That is almost a light brown, right? Like,
definitely a light brown.
And you can smell it. When you smell it, you get that. I can smell the roast component in there.
Yeah, I find it rich, roasty smell.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of cool that, again, House of Funk, even with a traditional lager, finds a way to make it just a little bit different.
This is delicious.
It's
good. Roasted malt has that little bitter component in it, which is adding to the crispness, the finish.
The funny part is just that roast almost gives hints of maybe there was wood involved with this beer.
Oh, There probably was wood involved.
There could be. I don't see anything on the can as my quick scan goes by, but it almost feels like there was.
They would have mentioned it, eh?
Yeah. But it definitely, to me at least, tastes like there could have been wood involved with this beer.
It does have that flavor. You're getting a little bit of a flavor from the husks of the malt. I think that's what that is.
Probably is,
straw, kind of hay flavor.
But it's just there's just like that, almost like a tannin or something that you'd think you'd get from the wood.
Yep.
I'm not saying it tastes barrel-aged at all, but it tastes like there could have been wood involved with it. Yeah, but yeah, it's nice. Beer. Definitely like a mild roast.
Very
definitely
well
grainy.
But you're getting all the sweetness and the nuttiness and the hops bitterness comes in and everything's playing together. Everything's at the same levels.
Mm-hmm. Again.
Yeah, it's a really beautiful beer.
Again, not what I expected out of this pack at all, which is happy for me.
Well, it was funny.
Me too.
The first time I went through this pack, I was just popping the cans and drinking out of the cans like a savage. And when I got to this one, I took a big sip and I was like, oh, wow. Because I didn't see the color. I wasn't expecting it, right? I thought, oh, it's Pilsner, right? Knocked it back and I was like, wait a sec. That's a little different.
All right. I'm having trouble tasting what you guys are talking about. So I have palate cleanser fudge.
Typically, we use crackers or bread. I'm not sure fudge would be proper judging setting.
Stop being so judgmental. What was that, Steve?
Salted caramel fudge.
So don't use those as notes in the beer taste.
Yes.
Yeah, this beer suddenly tastes like salted caramel. I don't know what's going on.
Well, it's like there is a bit of sweetness to it off the malt.
Sure.
And yeah, it's sort of like, I don't know, you know, those bready biscuits you get. It's in that same way. There's a hint of sweetness on those bready biscuits.
It's like the caramelization of it, kind of.
Yeah. As you were saying, Warren, like it's everything in the right amount. Mm-hmm. And it's all working together. Like it's, I don't know, I'm a big fan of this beer. I could just wax on about how much I like it all day. I might if you don't stop me.
It is very good.
And it finishes nice and bitter, too, which makes me think it would go really well with like a rich cheese or maybe some fatty sausage or something like that.
Yeah, I'd be all over that.
Mm, I can see that.
Nicely, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it would have went really good with my New York steaks that I bought for tomorrow night. I don't know.
Oh,
how'd it go with the fudge and the caramel salt?
That worked. Like I'm getting a lot more notes now. I'm not getting a lot of sweetness notes, surprisingly. I'm sure those will come back.
Although I wouldn't say it's ultra sweet either.
It's really dry.
I wouldn't call it sweet anyways, right? It's not sweet, but it's not a sweet beer.
Almost sweet.
No. Yeah.
Almost sweet. It's like
it does have a sweetness to it, man. I agree. Like, I get a little like caramelized.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like the shadow of sweetness.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
About this beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's good. Like the malt was almost just on the edge of caramel.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm enjoying the hell out of it. That's for sure.
That is really nice. Mm.
All right, we getting on to Chakra. I can say this one, boys.
I was wondering who would get this one.
Yeah, there's no R in it. Yeah, there's no R in Shaka. It. It's not Chakra, it's Shaka.
Hey, man, you misheard me.
It's the Shaka.
No, this is a full-on New Zealand, style, yeah. Right?
I'm super curious. Before, so.
Back 5%, Shaka. 30 IPU. And it's with Fernie Brewing Company, which, I mean...
Oh, nice.
I've been to Fernie Brewing once. Their beer is available basically everywhere in Western Canada, I think. They make good beer, but it's not something that everyone thinks of when they think of, like, making the crazy seasonals and one-offs and everything. So it's cool that they've been paired up with House of Funk and Daggerad and Superflux. You know, it's... You got three breweries
Look at that lacing.
Yeah.
Sorry. I mean, this is already making me take a second and look at Bernie. Make me want to go and check
their
stuff
back right?
out.
Like, it's kind of like the three breweries that we've already looked at that collaborated. I'm like, oh, makes sense. Bernie. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Bernie Brewing might have the best view of any brewery in the province.
Yeah.
My God, is it gorgeous when you're right at their brewery.
But yeah, like smelling this again, this I could stick my nose in this all day. Oh. This is
out of the four, this is the one I like the best, and mostly it's because of the aromas and the hops that they've chosen to use. The hop profile on this one is a lot closer to those dank, hazy, juicy Northeast styles.
I was going to say, like, all the hop is there. It's grassy and fresh and.
Well, this is using the New Zealand stuff, right? So you got the Wakatu and the Wailidi, and they're trying some different stuff. Really like it.
Definitely got a good grass smell to it, though.
It also is dry hop with Nelson's Avon, which is one of the hardest hops to get, right? This is Nelson's
Avon's a really nice hop. It's usually got tropical notes and that kind of thing.
I mean, there's one of the most sought-after beers in the world, I think, for a long time was Nelson from Alpine Beer Company in in San Diego County. And they happen to have a contract for this hop, which is almost impossible to get.
I love the nose on this one.
Yeah.
Me too. I love the taste on it too.
Oh, I just tasted that. It's so amazing. That is
so good.
Best smells like an IPA, but not quite as strong, right?
And even it tastes like the New England IPA light.
Right, like this is all the stuff I like about an IPA without hitting me in the face with it.
This is basically New England ISA.
without the haze.
Without the haze, yeah. It's not like, super hazy.
It's like it's a little creamy. It's got a nice tropical fruit, like papaya. Well,
and it's more drinkable too, right? Like those big juicy IPAs that we all love. Like, I love them just as much as anyone else. But like, it really wears out your palate, and it makes it hard to drink a lot of them. And I think,
This one's scratching the back of my throat.
Yeah,
I'm gonna keep coming back to this. Like, I could totally accidentally drink like 3, 4, 5 of these. I wouldn't even notice.
Yeah,
I could do the same.
I could too. Yeah, and like I said, I'm not usually someone. If it says pills in a can, I'm gonna walk away. But I could do the same thing.
Right. But like I would have no problem just keep cracking them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Too bad there's only two in a case.
Hey, I only have one because I gave the other half to Steve.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey, it said pills.
I'll give you a tip here. If you need to order more of these pills packs, go to the Four Winds website. They deliver to everywhere in South Delta, the rest of the province. They do Canada Post next day delivery.
Or if you're like me and you are an essential service and you're still working out and about, they are still doing food takeout. If you go to the brewery, you can get tacos and all that stuff to go. So you can go grab your beer to go, get your tacos to go, and you're set because, fuck, their tacos are awesome.
Totally. But I'm a big fan of this beer, and like I gotta toot my own horn because I swear to God, three months ago, I had this conversation with a brewery proprietor about how I didn't understand why like these really nice, delicate New World hops, specifically from New Zealand, because Australia's hops, like the Galaxy and stuff, they're a little more in your face. But hops like this, they weren't used to dry hop lagers. Like, it just seems criminal. Like, when you get a nice lager and you were to dry hop it with these delicate sort of layered hops, they don't kick you in the face unless you use huge amounts of them. But you just sort of layer them on top. It makes these beautiful beers. And I'm glad to see, and I'm sure someone came up with the idea before I did, but I'm glad to see that people are actually doing it because I think it's such a delicious beer, like when paired with a well-made, well-produced lager. This thing's friggin' amazing. It's amazing. Yeah. Like, that's how good it is.
Yeah. I love the fact, too, that they've created this 4-pack, or 8-pack, but the 4 different pills, but they're also really well-known for making a super good IPA, the Saison Brett. I forget what it's called now. Is it Opris? the heck's their Saison Brett called now? Their naming convention is hard sometimes.
Yeah,
it is.
I try not to look at the names too much.
Juxtapose?
No. But Juxtapose is a great wild IPA. They've got
Sovereign.
What was that?
Sovereign?
No. Nectaris is a great dry hop sour. They've got like the Phaedra, which is a Belgian rye IPA, Vexlum, which is Imperial IPA. Where the heck?
And we've got that rabbit hole.
I'm just trying to find.
Opris is the Brett Saison.
Opris, I was right. Yeah. Like, they've got a whole wide range of beers. And they've just opened it up even more now to a bunch of different lagers, which is great for a lot of people. I would drink some of these regularly, not all of them, but it's nice to see that there's more option for people.
Mike, if you like these, I would recommend picking up a 4-pack of their Hoofed Gold.
Maybe I'll split one with you. Contactless drop-off again.
And I'm going
to have to find some of that.
And it would have fit in really well with this tasting because it's right along the same lines and it's different from all four of these.
Well, maybe one of these days we'll get the Mills family on and we'll get some of their more of their beers on and we'll talk about that one.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah, I agree.
Good idea.
Yeah, no, these are all really solid. I'm happy that I'm surprised that these are not what I expected. You know,
these aren't your typical pilsners.
No,
they are a little different. They're a little special, and everyone's brought something a little different to the table with these collaborations, right?
Yeah, it's nice that they stepped out of their comfort zone with lagers and did something different, which is great because that's what you want with collaborations, anyways, right? If these all tasted like a yellow fizzy pilsner, no one's gonna buy it because who cares what the brewery name is on the pack?
And here in BC, it seems the pilsners or lagers that are a little more hopped seem to do well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think most of these were a little more on the hoppy side. So kind of makes
sense. Can I ask you, gentlemen, what do you think is your favorite one out of the four we had tonight, Ben?
My favorite's the Chaka, for sure. Hands down.
Tough call. I agree. Chaka's a contender. Andiamo might edge it out. I'm not quite sure yet.
Let me just quickly drink through them quickly.
Andiamo is the
green.
The green. It's the Italian Pilsner. I think
that was good
style. Like all of these are great beers.
That's the problem.
They're all fantastic.
The one I'm going to keep coming back and buying is that Italian style Pilsner. I think that has huge staying power in our industry. Like I can see Italian Pilsners having a tap at most spots because all they're really doing is taking something and, you know, elevating it to a higher quality and emphasizing flavors that I think are really universal.
That's
the one. I like them all.
Definitely torn between blue and green, the Chaka and the Andiamo. I might go with the Andiamo, but they're really close for me. But for me, they're pulling a little bit from the New England style of IPA and dry hopping and getting that late addition, getting that little bit of fruit in there that you expect.
Yeah,
and it, you know, that makes it more exciting to me.
And none of this is to take away from the other two. Like, they're all fantastic.
No. The whole pack's great.
I would drink any of these anytime.
Yeah. The idea is to try to, you know, narrow down to something you like the best, not saying something's bad.
Absolutely. I'm just putting you all on the spot. Sorry.
No, I was about to do the same thing. You beat me to it.
We do that every time anyway.
You have to. For me, it was the Chaka. I really like that. It's got kind of that IPA-ishness to it, but it's lighter. It was good. But again, the Andino, or however the hell you pronounce that, was freaking delicious too.
Andiamo,
yeah.
And I like the amber was nice too. The Zuta?
Yeah.
And whatever the first one was called, it was good too.
They're all good.
Numbro or something?
Numbrox.
Numbro.
Yeah, Numbro.
There you go. Somebody knows how to speak.
No, no, we don't. It's a different language. We're all terrible.
But yeah, no, hands down, a fantastic collab. Good idea with the pills all around. They've nailed it. Even the packaging is beautiful.
Yeah.
I love the packaging.
It's got a really nice look to it.
They're all identical pretty much, except for the text.
And the different colors.
Boys, one, or right? We got crispy boys you forgot to notice, too.
Yeah. it's all tied in, and it's all very fancy looking, and it's I like it. I love the packaging. I think it's very classy.
It's definitely well done, and I hope that maybe in the future here they can reach out to four more breweries and do another pack.
I'd love to see this continuing. It says right on the can it's a series, so I'd love to see this series continue and have different, you know, eight packs of four pills released, you know, like say once, twice a year, three times a year, whatever.
I think we need to see more of this in the industry in general. Like I love what Parallel 49 has done with their Brews Brothers pack. Not every pack has been super successful, but they're always interesting. It's, you know, they most of them have been 12 packs of different 12 different breweries. Yeah. I think they did one four pack with American
across Canada with a brewery in each province.
What was that? What the hell did they call that again? I forget what it's called. But and you know, P49 has done a mix pack in the past with Central City for Christmas. I love when breweries collaborate, bring new things to the table. They don't always have to be super successful, but try things. You know, just do something different. Collaborate. I think collaborations bring a lot to the table for the industry because everyone knows how to do something a little bit differently.
Sorry, what you're saying is we need to stop, collaborate, and listen?
Exactly.
Oh.
Like an old
school.
Yes.
That was good.
So true, so true.
Played, sir. No. Well played.
I like the whole collaboration thing, too, just because you get it. Like, if you try it with one of your buddies that really likes, like, House of Funk or Daggerad or whatever, it's not into Four Winds or whatever, it can bring them on over to, like, trying other breweries.
What's wrong with you not into Four Winds, though?
Right? Some people are weird, though. I know people that just like one brewery, and it's like, all right, man, it's good, but, like... Horizons.
Yeah. Oh, I know when I drop off my bottles at the Bottle Depot, they're not thinking that I like one brewery.
Oh, no. I got a mixed bag. I just dropped off two bags today.
Actually. I dropped off three a couple days ago.
If you guys actually want to donate some bottles to a good cause, the Beer Brothers on Instagram are actually collecting for the hospitality industry right now, too.
Oh, really?
They came and picked up my large container, which normally has like $30 in it. So,
yeah,
they're doing something pretty cool. If you guys are on Instagram, check
them
out.
Good to know. Good to know.
Well, that's a good idea then. Yeah, shout out to them. Do you know their handle? Top of your head?
Yeah, it's at Beer Brothers, like at beer_bros. Brothers, pardon me.
Underscore brothers.
It's double underscore? Okay.
Carnell's
got my back. I believe you're right now that you say that.
Cool.
Yeah, so beer double underscore brothers.
So if you're looking for someone to get rid of your bottles, hit them up.
Yeah.
Better than leaving them on the curb.
Oh, they come pick them up for you, and it goes to a good cause, so good for them.
That's awesome.
Excellent. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, if you like Four Winds, make sure you either go to their website. It is...
Even if you don't like Four Winds.
Still do it, yeah.
If you don't like Four Winds, go to their website twice.
Yeah. Here, let me find it.
Or
here.
Even if you just like one of the other breweries, check this out because it's deadly.
Absolutely.
But head to fourwindbrewing.ca. From there, you can go check out all the beers they make. You can hit up their store. Yep. If you are able to get out, head out to their brewery at Delta there and pick up some tacos or whatever food they have on order that day and pick up some beer to go. You're not going to be disappointed.
Mail like I do.
Yeah, well, yeah, you can order it online, pick it up in store from their window. Like, you can't go into the store anymore, but you can grab food and beer there or you can order online.
Yep.
So, thanks for tuning in. Cheers.
All right.
Cheers.
Nice seeing you, gents.
Thanks for tuning in to Pacific Beer Chat. We can be found on all podcast apps as well as at pacificbeerchat.com. If you find a podcast app we are missing on, let us know and we'll endeavor to fix that. Leave us a review on iTunes as it helps expose more people to the show. You can email us at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com. We can be found on all major social media apps at Pacific Beer Chat. Logo design was by Tim, the craft beer tourist. Audio editing done by Cam, known as Cam on Tap on Twitter. To play us out, here is a clip of the song Lothian by the band Conundrum, performed by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.